This is Julian Morrow with you on Sunday Extra, and here on the show we do occasionally talk about Netflix shows, but I don't think we've ever discussed the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, which lasted from 1569 to 1795. But now, with apologies to Tweet of the Week fans, we've got the chance to kill two rare birds with one stone, thanks to the recent piece in The Conversation titled Netflix's 1670 Satirizes the Absurd Ruling Class of the 17th Century Poland-Lithuania with Lessons for Today. Now, 1670 is a Polish, not Polish-Lithuanian, historical mockumentary. Here's a quick sample of it.
Jest rok 1670.
Tak, wiem co powiecie.
Actually, it's probably more useful if I give you the version with the English audio turned on.
It is the year 1670. Yep. I know what you're going to say. 1670. I could have sworn 1668 was just yesterday. My name is Jan Paweł Adamczewski, and my great ambition in life is to be the most famous John Paul in the history of Poland. I'm very lucky to have been born into nobility here in Poland, which is the most powerful country in the world. The weather's quite good here from June to September. Well, mid-September. I have two sons. My eldest will eventually inherit my estate. But at the moment, we're having a few parenting issues.
Stanislav! Stop making such a racket!
That's the sound of the future, Dad. It's post-Baroque.
Not in my barn, it isn't.
But Dad, this shit is badass Cossack.
Don't start with that. Have you forgotten what badass Cossacks did to Grandpa? My second son, Jakub, is the pride of the family. He's already climbing the corporate ladder.
I chose the church because I've always wanted a good job on a dynamic and evolving team in a fiscally stable organization with a strong market presence.
I've watched quite a bit of 1670 since I found out about it, and it's really funny. And I've got to be honest, I feel like I know a little bit more about 17th century Poland-Lithuania, or at least more than I ever have before. The person I have to thank for that is Professor of History at the Australian Catholic University, Darius von Goodner, who wrote the article in The Conversation. Unsurprisingly, Darius is a historian of Central Europe with a particular interest in cultural aspects of the transmission of ideas and identity. Darius, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Great to be with you.
Now, before we talk about 1670, the show, can you tell us about 1670, the year, and I suppose more broadly, that curious historical beast that was the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth?
Look, where to start? It is a topic ripe for a lot of laughter, because it is a kingdom that in fact calls itself a republic. It is a monarchy with an elected monarch. They elect their own kings from among either themselves, the nobility of Poland-Lithuania, or from some foreign princes. It is a largest country in Europe, with perhaps exception of Russian Empire at the time. It is also a multi-faith, multi-ethnic place where cultures come together, where East and West literally meet. This is geographical center of Europe. It is a country that is full of contradictions, because in the West, we've got the Poland proper. In the very East, we have today Ukraine and Belarus and Lithuania and Latvia, all the way to the gates of Moscow. This is the country that dominates the region to far greater degree than, for example, Moscow itself. So when you think about the, for example, the Ukrainian identity today, it comes out of the shape of this enormous state, this enormous realm in East Central Europe.
Why did the Kingdom of Poland and the Grand Duchy of Lithuania form a union in the first place?
Very good question. Very good question, and not an easy thing to answer. The formal date of union is 1569, but it goes back to 1386, to a marriage of Queen Jadwiga of Anjou, who was crowned King of Poland. The Poles didn't have a word for Queen Regnant, so they crowned her a king. She married a Grand Duke of Lithuania, known as Jogaila or Władysław Jagiełło. And in 1386, it started a dynastic union that the Grand Duke of Lithuania was King of Poland. That started the Jagiellonian dynasty. And in 1569, the last male representative of that royal house decided that, given that he didn't have direct male heirs, that he will join his hereditary domain of Lithuania with Poland in one united monarchy. And this is how the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth started.
It might not sound like it, but on Sunday Extra, we're talking about a Netflix comedy, which is set in the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth with Professor Darius von Guttner. And the Polish Commonwealth, Darius, certainly did have some quirky features, as you've described. It was a republic of nobles, and it also had something called the Liberum Veto. What was that?
This is a very peculiar form of democracy. When the Jagiellon dynasty died out, when this last male heir died, the nobles got together and decided that they will set a new parliamentary practice, essentially, that there will be parliament composed of two houses and a monarch. They will elect monarch from among themselves, and that every deputy will have a right to stop a session of parliament by saying, "I do object." And liberum veto meant a mechanism in which a deputy can object to a specific law being passed. Now, initially, I think the idea behind it was to give every member a chance to speak up on the issue rather than essentially destroy parliamentary session. But later on, it became this kind of anarchical instrument, which, when shouted loudly, meant that the session of the parliament was suspended, that no laws were enacted.
One member being able to bring the proceedings of parliament to a halt by saying certain words doesn't seem like a recipe for functionality, although it does potentially seem like a recipe for comedy.
It is.
And that indeed is what's happened. Netflix now is distributing globally the series 1670. So let's talk about 1670, the show. Darius, you write that it's not meant as a history lesson, but is it to some extent?
I think it is. We need to look at those hilarious moments of our human past as a mirror in which we see ourselves, because we are using quite a lot of words like unprecedented, and we seem to have the news that, you know, everything is new, that we are carrying so many new things that we... But if we look at the past, at that hilarious cross of culture, East and West, of the pride in your own ancestry, if we look at invention of new political systems like that one, Parliament, the Republic of the Nobles with Parliament and Liberum Veto, we are encountering ourselves, really. Everyone is an expert. The key character of 1670, this new TV series in Netflix, is essentially an expert that could be posting today on Facebook. This is a person standing in front of media asserting truths that have no ground in fact whatsoever. He's convinced that he's right at every possible front.
And as we heard, Jan Paweł Adamczewski wants to be the most famous John Paul in Polish history. and of course, this invites quite a lot of laughter because of Pope John Paul II, the Polish Pope elected in 1970s, the Pope that challenged the Soviet Empire.
And I suppose that gives us a sense of the sort of historical comedy that 1670 is playing with. Perhaps you could describe that for us a little bit more, because it is quite sophisticated. There's a lot of contemporary jokes, although it's set in 1670, but then there are also jokes about the Liberum Veto and other things like that.
Well, I think the joke is on us in a sense that if we didn't have destruction of Poland, Lithuania in 1795, if we didn't have Kosciuszko uprising, something that relates to us in Australia, of course, quite well, and if we didn't have Stalin and division of Europe, we probably would have learned about Poland, Lithuania in a different way. Mm. But now we are looking at a story of a nobleman who is entitled by law to be one of the electors of the King of Poland. He is a lord. There's no castle. He lives in a small village. And this is, again, a reflection of the nobility. About, I think, 6 to 10% of Polish population claim to be noble by descent. meaning noble by the virtue of the birth from a noble father. This is a story of the family that lives in a small village that owns perhaps 50 peasants or serfs that work on that domain. This is the family where daughter is our proto-feminist, who reminds us about the climate change, about the rights of women, the rights of minorities, both religious and any other minority, in fact. This is the daughter that talks about girls' right to education and reading and writing and understanding the world through your own senses, through your own free will, through your own understanding of reality around you. We have another character, a religious a bigot wife of that nobleman, but at the same time, full of contradictions, pious, religious, observant. Observant in a way that is hilarious and hurting, but at the same time reflecting the genuine piety of people of that time. At the same time, she falls in love with another woman. And she's struggling herself to find meaning in what's happening to her as a person and what's happening to her as a mother. You've got everything there. You've got her brother. A brother who is a fighter, who constantly reminds us that Poland fought this enormous war against Tatars and fighting with Cossacks and with Swedes after the Swedish deluge. But he's essentially an itinerant, penniless nobleman that doesn't have a place anywhere else. And he finds himself a home in that village too, but he's really laughed at. He doesn't wash. He says uncomfortable truth. He's almost like Luna Lovegood of Harry Potter, that he says those things in total frankness and revealing reality of the an absurdity of 1670. And yet he speaks like with the voice that we can hear from our neighbors and friends today. So the show is full of characters that speak to us as if they were sitting next to us, even though they are placed in the historical context of Poland and Lithuania in the 17th century.
Yes, I can certainly attest to that as someone with next to no knowledge of that historical period. I find the show really relatable and really funny. I was interested, though, Darius, that you've also written that for Polish viewers in particular, 1670 is a satire which pricks national myths. What are some of those myths and how does 1670 take them down?
I think every nation has those moments of their past that they either really admire or they really despise, that they really cherish or they wish they never happened. I think what the show is showing us, the myth of the Polish nobleman, the one who would proudly say God, honor and homeland, and in every possible sentence, the one that was patriotic, the one that was wise, the one that was constantly enlightened and ready to fight for his home country. And here we have a nobleman that is parochial, painfully parochial, that is uneducated, that doesn't know the world, that does not know how economy operates, that does not value economic development or understands essentially the work that his peasants do. So there is quite a lot of things about also the nature of that Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, that it was so great, that it was the golden era of Polish history, that, for example, the myth of the equality between Poles, Lithuanians, and Ukrainians and others, the country where no witches were burned, a country where there was no religious persecution. And here the show is taking this as a bit of a joke with this gentle humor to show that in certain situations it was difficult for the Catholics and the Orthodox Christians and Jews and Muslim Tatars to coexist in one village. And it shows it through, for example, the pride parade that they organize in the middle of the village, where the nobleman is asked as the lord of the village to give permission for this parade to happen. And we are shown this conflict, you know, should I? Should I not? What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? The whole political thing, almost as if we see a city council today debating should this Pride night happen or not.
Well, clearly some home truths for Polish viewers in 1670. Your article in The Conversation, Darius, promises that 1670 also has lessons for us today. So what are the lessons of 1670, the series, for 2025 viewers outside Poland?
I think the lessons are about the nature of power, about the way democracy operates. I think it is a warning, quite deep warning, really, about trying to circumvent the democratic nature of our societies, to disestablish expertise of expert in preference to, for example, a big, noisy group. The uncomfortable truth as well about the nature of freedom. What does it mean to be really free? And what freedom of expression means? What is the nature of political power? And where are the origins of political power? The fact that sovereignty may be enormously powerful concept to those that wield power, but that the roots of it is also cooperation between all of us as a civic society. And about public debate, that resorting to violence is not the way to go, but that a conversation and that civilized debate is perhaps something that is far more powerful. And it almost, you can say, you know, love, all we need is love in a sense. But there's quite a lot of things about the contradictions we see in ourselves in a modern society, our perception of us as breaking into this, the notion of freedom. I think also the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth was priding itself on individual freedom, but individual freedom just of the 10% of the population, of the noble part of it, where women were still subject to quite draconian, for example, legislation for widows that were subject to the rule of the brothers and sons.
Yeah, it's some really heavy political theory lifting for a riotous satirical comedy, but it is all there and it's fascinating to watch. So, Darius, thank you very much for coming on Sunday Extra. And even more importantly, thanks very much for introducing me and us to 1670.
Pleasure. And it's great to be able to talk about this very often forgotten part of the world that gave us, for example, Kosciuszko and Strzelecki.
And 1670, the series on Netflix, is streaming and available now. The second season has just been released. And we were speaking there with Darius von Guttner, who's Professor of History at the Australian Catholic University. And he wrote about Netflix's 1670 in The Conversation.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.